mail organ scan. We thank you for the penis, Father. We thank you, you allow a sensation. To give thanks, thank you for the ability to make love to each other. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You alone are worthy, Lord. We appreciate you. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let's talk
relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio, one word.
Hey, welcome, welcome, welcome back to another week, another great, great segment we have for you tonight. Welcome to Let's Talk Relationships on UME Radio. I am DJ KTE.
And I am Lady Misty. Good
Lady
night, DJ.
Lady Misty, you're here, you're
Hi.
Here. How was your day, Lady Misty?
Busy, but busy. Okay. Yeah, it was a busy day.
Where I'm at right now, it's raining, but it's dry on the inside.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm here with a great, 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 in great spirits, I would say. So,
yes.
Tonight we'll be joined by Miss Anike Moray for our Live Moments segment and Apostle Dr. Faith Walters for our Power in the Bedroom segment. And let me just put it out there just for y'all who are watching. If you're under 25 years old, you're not supposed to be on the show tonight watching or looking at anything. As a matter of fact, I'll make it 30 years old. If you're under 30, it's not for you tonight, okay?
Oh, that's so a bit much, DJ.
It's going to be a really, really crazy night. But hey, we're here.
Okay, I almost did make it to the show because I'm a notch over 30.
Oh, wow. So you got lucky tonight. You got lucky. See that? That's what God's been good to you, huh?
All right. So, good night, everybody. And let me just hasten to say a big thank you to our sponsors tonight. So, we have UME Digital Inc. So, you check them out at umedigitalinc.com. We have My Coach Ministry.
Yes, we have, I think you're breaking up there a little bit. We have
My Coach
Ministry. Yes.
Okay, great. So, I was thanking our guests, our sponsors, I'm sorry. I hope you all can hear me now. We had a little glitch in the technical field. Yes, so I was saying we want to say big up to our sponsors tonight. So we want to thank Access Businessry, UME Digital Inc., My Coach Ministry, and Shop and Own.
Yes.
They have been on board with us week after week, and we want to say thank you. We also want to say thank you to our studio audience, those who are on Zoom in the room with us tonight. Thank you so much for coming on. For those on YouTube watching us, thank you for joining, and those listening, of course, on UME Radio.
Yes, and good folks, we have a special guest has arrived, so you know that it's going to be hot, hot, hot tonight.
Yes.
I can't wait. It's going to be a bombshell. So y'all put your seatbelts on real tight because tonight is going to be the night of all nights. Anyway, we want to thank Apostle Faith for being here and also Latoya Pennock for being here as well, our guest. And looking forward to hearing from Anike when she comes. So,
all right.
Yes.
So
yes,
we're moving into our hot, hot, hot topic.
Yes, we are.
Yes, and the question this week is, how our natural beauty makes us sexy in a world where cosmetic adjustments dominate everything? So is natural beauty important, or do you have to put a little makeup on to make a statement?
I say go for a month without deodorant. One whole month and see what happens.
All right.
Maybe we'll take a mile off Corona for a while and maybe have a shift in focus here. Go ahead.
All right. I think our producer has a clip for us. So let's listen to that. And then we jump right into our hot topic discussion.
When the principals are up close and personal now, she realized that she had relaxed and she pulled me one side and she said, "Mommy, you know, this is a no-lock school." So I said, "Excuse me." said, she said, no, ma'am, we don't, dreadlocks is not a part of our school culture here. So I said, why? No, mommy, you don't. I have experience over how much years. This is a problem. You know, she's pulled out kids out of classroom. She has to wash them here because parents don't take care of them here. And, you know, jungle farm and other here. And she's had lice outbreak where the rest of people, you know. And so I said, okay. But you've seen her here all this time before. You never chose to bring this up. This is not our first time meeting. You know, it's very last minute. How am I going to find a school now to put her in? If this is the case, I said, what are the exceptions? She said, no exception, mommy. She just don't want a dreadlock in her school. So I said, there's no alternative, no nothing. She said, no, get rid of the locks or find somewhere to put her.
There are some who are in that old mindset, and there are some who are with us, but they are afraid to, you know, speak out against it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, you cannot follow the usual trend, you know, try to make a change. You know what I mean? Come on. Yeah. Love your country enough to want it. You know, I mean, have a sense of national pride, you know, in our identity. Yeah. You know, I mean, they're saying that, you know, if we said that, oh, we're Rastas, you know, it would be darn clear. But you know what? My religious view is my religious view, and that's my that's my private right, you know? And,
right.
You know, I mean, I'm not about to discuss what my views are, but, you know, I mean, you see, I go around the place, you know, and I'm seeing, and I say, yo, Russ, we didn't have lots when. People say, I say, yo, Russ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. You know, it's
of
a thing.
It's an identity. It's
and you, as a musician, Wayne, when you go around the place, like your tour, you know, people see you and them
get this warm.
Celebration. Yeah, it's a celebration of our look and our Rasta and our locks and our culture. Yeah. Anywhere outside.
Yes.
Even bigger, much bigger outside of Jamaica than in Jamaica, is that we should be ashamed.
But yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I also wear dreadlocks. I am passionate when it comes to my hair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a point where if my school asks me not to get rid of my hair or not teach, then I'll choose to not teach.
Mm-hmm. So why is it, as Black people seek to navigate their own truths, to understand themselves better and understand their own power, it's so problematic?
Mm.
We need to think about it, because it's problematic because a teacher could look at an 8 or 7 year old and say to her, your hair is a problem. And not just have an honest conversation about the hair, but make it an excuse for hygiene. We've been, I don't like the word victim because I'm not a victim, but we've been the victim of white marketing.
Waves like something you've never heard before.
You, me, radio.
All right, we want to thank MTM Week Family and Weekends with Marsha J for those clips. Thanks to our producer DJ Kelly for playing those clips for us. It is so interesting that in a world today, this has become an issue. Whether or not your natural selves can be, you know, showcased. And I found it appalling and a little disturbing when I heard this story, because for those in the diaspora listening, this is a story that came out of Jamaica. A family, they have a daughter going to a particular primary school, and they were asked to leave because of the style of hair that she has. Statements from the school says that they had fears of the child having, you know, hygienic problems, lice, and so on. But in dissecting the whole matter, in dissecting how we talk about this, we realize it has nothing to do with hygiene, really. It really has to do with our natural selves. Do we love ourselves enough to showcase our natural selves in that way? Are we strong enough as Black people to own our true selves, our natural beauty, without having persons dictating to us how we are to dress, how we are to look, what is acceptable? How do we navigate past that in the 21st century, in this day and age? It's interesting. Personally, I have no problem with locks. I'm an educator, I'm a teacher, and while I don't have locks, I sport my natural hair for the most part. And growing up, I always thought it was ugly because, you know, it
that's how it was portrayed.
Yeah, it's hard to comb and, you know, it's hard to manage all of this. And I remember transitioning to processed hair. And oh my God, I cried. Oh. I cried because the chemical took off most of it.
Wow.
Yeah, so I have been natural for probably about 10 years or so.
Okay. Well, that's,
yeah,
that's,
I went back thing. Natural. Yeah. You know, we change it up, you know, sometimes we have a different look, you know, you have your wigs and so on and so on, but I love my natural hair and I have no problem wearing it. The issue is, will I be thrown out of a job or a school because I decide to wear my natural hair?
Well, you know, that's a great point. I mean, I think looking back at the video, and even a few weeks ago when we had played the Beyoncé video that she had done in Africa.
Yes, Black is King, yes.
Yeah, Black is King. You think about the culture itself that gears folks towards what they think is supposed to be norm or the way to get in the door or to be accepted or to be considered norm. So, you know, you want to get this job. So now you have to get your hair permed and look a certain way and so forth. You know, again, it's such a cultural thing. And it's so sad because I grew up hearing people say, good hair, bad hair. Like, what is it? You know?
Yeah.
And they would favor the light skin over the dark skin. And, you know, if your hair is coarse, excuse me, y'all, it's a problem, but that should not be the case. So we see where the culture itself has pulled us into a direction where we don't even know ourselves anymore. And we can't even appreciate ourselves without the makeup, without the eyeliner. My eyes are too pale. My lips is too thin or too thick.
Yeah.
Where are these things coming from?
Yeah.
These things.
But you know, it has, I see, you know, fashion and everything like, you know, a cycle. Because there was a time when full lips was taboo. Like, you weren't supposed to have full lips, you know, thin lips, you know, doing all the surgery. And then I've lived to see where there are people sucking bottles, like sucking the plastic bottles so that their lips can swell, so that they have full lips.
Wow.
I've seen, you know, those shows where persons are injecting Botox and all of that, so they have full lips. And I'm like, but y'all said it was ugly.
Yeah.
You know, so why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm. So Lady Misty, we see where if you don't know yourself, you don't know who you are, you don't have full self-identity.
Yeah.
My goodness, this culture would have you in a whirlwind spinning you around every other 5-10 years.
Yes, yes. I remember doing an interview, and the interviewer did not say it in so many words, but I got it. Hmm. I was too dark.
Wow.
You know, I was too dark. My hair was you know, to, I was just not the look for the front desk. I'm like, okay, I had all the qualifications and, you know, but I just didn't have the look because I was dark. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, yeah. And didn't know that most of the light or dark that was considered to be the thing in our culture had to do with a movie star. Like when Wesley Snipes came out and it was a big star because it was dark, then all of a sudden dark men became the attraction.
It's a thing.
You know, so it's just amazing. It's amazing how you have these
my God.
And that is going on in our culture. But again, it shows that that people need to start knowing who they are.
We've got to come to that awakening and,
awareness.
You know.
Awareness, yeah.
Knowing and valuing ourselves too. It's not only knowing because you can know it, but, you know, seeing the value in what you own. Mm-hmm. Is very, very important. So
and how we speak, because sometimes we speak to young kids, our children, and don't understand the impact that's been made.
Yes.
Those small little words or someone say our speech acts. So important. You know, it takes just one word, one sentence can scar a child for life.
True. Very true.
You know, and it's something that we have to consider. I mean, Black folks, we are beautiful. We are just colorful in our personality, in our creativity.
We king, man. We king.
I mean, we got it going on like that. And I think that it's time we start to not let the other culture dominate and intrude our mind and have us not love ourselves the way we ought to.
That's right.
Yes. So I'm telling you, I'm excited about tonight. It's going to be really, really, really fun, I believe.
Think so too.
You think so? Yeah, I think so. I'm telling you, I'm getting ready for this. Yeah, so folks, this is Yumi Radio. You're listening to Let's Talk Relationships, and here we just do it right. We talk about it. It could be family, love, sex, all that good stuff, and we believe in being candid, being open, and you listen, have a voice. And at some point, remember, you have the freedom to send in your questions and you can feel free to engage us. And
we can
always come to some great conclusions here. It's not about being right or wrong. We do come from a Christian perspective, but we're not judgmental. We try to be very honest and we try to be just to have a dialogue. I think a lot can be accomplished with having a dialogue.
Conversation.
Yes, it does.
So we are in for a treat tonight. We are going to be moving into our Power in the Bedroom, Power in Relationships. That's the segment. And we are going to be talking about, is your bed defiled or undefiled? What does that even mean? We're going to talk about it tonight. But first, we're going to hear some responses about the question. And let me find the question for you, because Delrose went on the road to ask some questions. Okay. And I like this question and I can't wait to hear the answers. I can't wait. Well, let's go.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Relationships. The last time we spoke, we discussed bedroom branding and persons gave their opinions on what they thought bedroom branding was and if they had their own. Now this week, we wanted to know if your bedroom is defiled versus undefiled. The Bible clearly states that the bedroom is undefiled. So we wanted to know, since it's undefiled, is threesomes and usage of toys okay? Let's hear what the people had to say.
So my answer to the question is, if you are using toys, that would be between you and your partner. And also, this is something that it's something physical. It's not a human, you understand? Or let me not say that, because if you use pornography books or videos or those stuff, I don't believe those are supposed to be used, because you'd actually be looking on another person, and you know that lust is sin. Also, for another person to be introduced in the bedroom in action, that is adultery. I understand that because it said that it is undefiled does not mean that certain principles are not supposed to be adhered to. I believe what has happened is the flexibility between you and your partner only. But I believe there are still restrictions because it's supposed to be a sanctified place. So no threesome, no pornography, but for me the toys would be okay.
There's those questions. One, threesome thing is out of it for a Christian, because you're talking about, you know, another person. Any sexual relation has to do with two persons, no three persons any one time. So threesome, that's out of the question. Bedroom toys, again, that is up to both persons. Depends on what you want. I don't think that the bedroom toys can be wrong or right. When it is wrong is when one person is forced to do what he or she does not want to do. That would make it wrong, and that would defile the bedroom. So depends on the toys. If one like the uncuff or tied to be anything to enhance or to enjoy your sexual relation. But when it becomes wrong, when it becomes defiled, is when any one individual forces the action on another. Whether it force the toy or force oral sex. Once it is forced, if it's something that both of you agreed to and think it will enhance your sexual relation, I don't think it defiles. But when there's a third person, that is totally wrong. All right?
What do you think, Keith? Okay, you want me to go and show you? You want me to go for my toy and show you?
Go ahead. Make it happen. Make it happen.
I'm joking.
You know, I have a toy car in my room somewhere. It's a souvenir, so I can't use that. What do you think, Mr. Lenny, Mr. I'd like to get a take on that, feedback there.
Well, there were some interesting points. I heard a lot, most of the responses saying threesomes are wrong because they're introducing another person, and that takes it to a whole different level. But toys, on the other hand, are acceptable once you and your partner agree to that. Personally, I don't see anything wrong with toys. Personally, I don't. Personally, too. I don't think I'd agree to a threesome for one reason. I don't like to share. So I'm selfish like that. So that's a no for me. But on a biblical note, I see where the responses are coming from, because that's actually a whole nother thing. So that's what I think. What do you think?
You know, as I watch this segment so far, I remember hearing some years ago, there was a gentleman on the program, and it was a Christian man too, And what they did was they actually had they done swinging. So that was a normal thing. They had people who agreed to it. They had,
you know, that's an interesting world.
In the church. They seem to have, like, you know, gay churches or whatever it is. But yeah. They actually, you know, the couples and agreed and shared that thing. But right. Again, this show, I know where I stand in this area. I think that I want to hear the audience. And but I think that, as like I said, from a Christian perspective.
But where do you stand? We don't know.
Where do you stand? I'm standing on the Bible. but in all seriousness, I think that
that's not even an answer. Come on.
I think that the one man, one woman. That's the way I believe it ought to be. Okay. I think that one person is enough to explore for the rest of your life. I think God has given us enough creativity, enough imagination, enough love to be able to instill in that one person, because you can keep on discovering that person if you allow your spirit to be open, your mind to be open, because God gives us wisdom in all things, whether it's financial or whether it's love. Yeah.
Will your discovery be assisted with toys or without?
Toys, there's a thing called middle ego. We want to feel like we're the champ, we're the man. but at the same time, toys have their place, I believe. Toys have their place. And I think, again, it has to do with both folks want to be, you know, in a similar exploratory kind of mindset.
Okay.
And so forth. But, hey, I think sex has become such a diverse and such a personal taste, touch, whatever it is. And it's like, we have to find a place and make sure that what our soul is rested in all these things, you know? Because many people can do a lot of things, but their soul is kind of, it's not, you know, it's not really loose and free because an overkill of whatever they do.
That's what I got you.
Uh-huh.
I got you. So we're going to be taking a little break. And when we come back, we'll be hearing from our first guest tonight, our Apostle Dr. Faith. And I know she is a vibrant
woman,
and I can't wait to talk to her.
Mm-hmm. And she will have a lot to say about this, I'm pretty sure, too.
God, you made man in your own image, and Adam knew Eve, and Lord, they connected. They knew each other, they knew each other parts of their body.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Relationships. I am Lady Misty.
And this is DJ KTE, and I have a question.
You have a question?
I sure do.
Okay, what's the question?
But listen to this. I just want to ask, how do you know the song that you heard a while ago was written by
Dr. Faith?
Dr. Faith Walters, of course. So, Dr. Faith, what in the world inspired the song?
What in the world inspired the song?
Yes.
Well, I thought you was going to play the entire song, but I guess you only play a small segment of it. So.
Yes. Well, it was played in the beginning. The entire thing was played. So this was a taste to kind of get the audience curious.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. My name is Apostle Dr. Faith Walters of Women, Men of Excellence Outreach Ministries. And I'm so glad to be here on this evening to participate in this discussion about relationships and about a very vital topic, which is part of relationship, is about sex. And you asked a question about the CD that I wrote. Well, the Lord inspired me to write that. I was in my last year of college and doing my second master's in marriage and family therapy. And in my sex therapy class, my professor, you know, he put it out there, made a statement
that. I'm sorry, Dr. Faith. We can hardly hear you. Could you just increase your volume a little bit? Thank you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
A little better. Thank you.
I wasn't even at the microphone. That's why I forgot my phone. My thing's a little different. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can. Go ahead. Thank you.
Yes. So I got to start over again?
Not necessarily. You were saying, you were talking about, you know, you were going into talking about your song.
Yes. And my professor, he made a statement in class, and he said that many people, they sing about the moon, the stars, and different things about the universe, but nobody has ever thanked the Lord for the sexual body parts.
Mm. So right.
Nowhere, I'm like, oh, that's a challenge. Challenges. I'm bold like that. So I said, okay. I said, Lord, I said, maybe I'm going to be the one to do it. So I went home that evening, and the next morning in my devotion with the Lord, I was just, you know, in worship. And I said, Lord, I need the song. I need you to give me a song.
Right.
No sooner did I say that, the words started to come. Mm-hmm. And I pressed my recorder and I started recording.
Wow.
I didn't know what I was really singing. I knew I was singing something, but I didn't know exactly the depth of what I was singing. So when I played it back, I said, oh my God. This stuff is heavy. I mean, you know, I talked about every part of the body, the anatomy that has to do with sex.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, God. What, you gonna turn the purse up to you and turn the church upside down? You know, so that's how it came forth. But, you know, with that being said, from when I was very young, you know, I know, you know, growing up, they never really talked about sex. So as I was growing, that became something that I wanted to talk about.
Yes.
I think I mentioned this before, I heard a lady one time when I was in my 20s, her name was Dr. Ruth, this little lady, and she was so bold in talking about it. I said, wow, I got somebody here that's bold enough too, so I'm following her footsteps, you know, and I started discussing the topic, and every time I discussed, people tell me to be quiet, you know.
Yes.
You know, nobody wanted to talk about it, you know, and then I remember a young lady when I was discussing it, they wanted to close their ears because it was talk about, because when the church is downplaying it, I'm going to upplay it because I believe it was it's a very vital topic. And it so happened that this same young lady, after a while, maybe a year or two later, she was getting married and she came back to me and said, oh, remember that topic you talked about with sex before? Can you tell me now? I said, well, I thought you didn't want to hear it before. You know, so I didn't really go into a lot of detail with her because she is one of those little holy, holy people, you know.
Yeah, so, I got you.
Yeah, so when people are kind of deep like that, you don't really know, because, yeah, people are embarrassed to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a taboo subject.
I hear you. Let me see. I know that this song that we just played, there's some other things about Dr. Faith that I believe she does as well. You know, has worked in those areas. So maybe you can just maybe list a few of those things. I think she's a bit.
She's a psalmist. She's a songwriter, as we know tonight. Uh-huh. And the published author of poems about my self-esteem and my misery became my ministry. And that title alone is so powerful.
My misery became my ministry.
Wow. Yes. So tonight we're talking about, you know, is the bedroom defiled or undefiled? So, Doc, I want to ask you, what is undefiled? What's undefiled versus defiled? What actions or speeches, you know, define what the bedroom should be when it comes on to being defiled or undefiled?
Well, I've been, okay, for people Don't know. I was married for 16 years, so I kind of have an understanding.
Okay.
Is about. I'm divorced now, but I learned a lot of lessons as to why my marriage did not work out.
But right.
It wasn't really about the bedroom issue because I covered that quite well.
Come on now.
I literally trained my husband how to make love.
Okay. That's right.
Before I got married, I made sure.
I'm coming for classes.
You trained your husband how to love.
Yes, I did.
Wow. You know, I tell you.
I made a decision that I said, Lord, I don't know if he knew anything about making love or sex or whatever it is, but I'm going to
educate myself.
So I did a lot of reading, a lot of books and different things, you know, and made sure I had some knowledge because both of us not going to sit there and look like, okay, what are we supposed to do now?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
So I kind of taught him a lot of things. So that part of our relationship was not an issue.
Okay.
And I heard the person talked about using toys in the bedroom. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says the bed is honorable. Marriage is honorable. The bed is undefiled. So whatever you choose to do in your bedroom, that's really your choice. And I heard it talk about bringing a third party in. That's a definite no-no. Because even... you know, because we are no as children of God, we know that's us, that God is not into that. And that is definitely.
Right.
But even when you look at the world in itself, and you talk, they call themselves swingers and things like that. You know?
Yes.
When you introduce another person into the mix, you know, I've seen where, and I've watched movies too, and sometimes documentaries, where people, they say that they bring another person in to enhance the relationship.
Yes. You know, I've heard that too.
Bring another person into a relationship, you are changing the dynamics of the relationship.
Wow.
Okay. Women are emotional. Okay. And then men can be competitive in some way. And then you are going to bring a man into the relationship, or you're going to bring a woman into the relationship. Then you're going to have this same sex thing going on and this stuff. I mean, it's going to get really, really complicated. Somebody's going to get hurt.
So let me ask you a question, Dr. Faith. Now we know back in the Bible days when men had many wives, right? Kings had many wives and concubines. Some cultures, even now, African cultures, Muslim countries, they have where they have many wives. Once they can support them, once they can take care of family, it's okay in that aspect of it. So if you went to a country that it was okay for the man to have more than one wives, or some wives have more than one husband in some cultures. It's as crazy as that sounds. Would you say it's wrong based on what you believe the Bible is saying, or would you try to understand their thinking and what is it something that benefits them as a people, as a family? Are they happy? Are they peaceful? Are they, you know, because a lot of people who are, quote unquote, married is supposedly the right one, the one in one. And they follow that rule, they're miserable. After 2-3 years, they want to get divorced. They're married, they're upset, they're fighting, it's on his throat, and we're supposed to be doing the right thing. So how would you address that issue?
Well, it depends on why people get married in the first place. Okay, because a lot of people get married for something you said about people said, we want to get divorced or whatever it is. Some people get married based on sexual. Okay, and that shouldn't even be. Now, you're talking about people in these different cultures. Well, that's something the jury's still out on that.
I thought so.
I know scripture says that polygamy is wrong. So even if they're doing it, it's wrong. Okay, since Jesus came, a lot of these laws that we were doing back in the day in the Old Testament, when Jesus came, everything changed. So we're not on the law, we're on the grace. So then we got to abide by what Jesus put forth, okay? And the Bible says for us to be with one, have one wife.
Yes.
The Bible says that he that in Proverbs, I did some
You know, Proverbs 18:22. It said, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtained favor from the Lord. It didn't say he that findeth a wife. He said he that findeth a wife. A wife. That's the operative here. A wife.
Yes.
Is a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord. So even though these cultures involve it, even here in the United States, there's some states and there's some
religion,
the Mormon religion, they believe in that, but that don't make it right. And I even think about, even when Solomon had all them wives and all them concubines, he did not reach all those women. Okay. I'm sure he did not reach all
it was just power and just prestige. That's having right. the having the numbers, yeah.
Yes. He couldn't reach all those women.
Yes.
No, so overall,
yes.
How's the women? I mean, come on. You got, if we do 365 days a year, oh my God, the next one we have sex probably about 5 or 10 years down the road by the time he reached number 1,000 woman.
Yes.
A long time, you know? So a lot of these cultures, you know.
Yes.
Where they're doing this, but that doesn't make it right. And I know there are a lot of different women, because you have the woman that was first. And even though some women may appear to get along, but it's not always. I don't think it's always
right.
That's pleasant, you know. Some people just
yes,
because if it's the man, but you know, a lot of men are very domineering.
So,
Dr. Faith, I have two questions for you, but before I ask them, I just want to remind our listeners and our viewers as well, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to WhatsApp us on this number, 201-503-6731. That's 201-503-6731. And I have two questions from two listeners. Well, one came from last week's show, because last week while we were discussing with Dr. Dunbar, the issue of language came up. And while we were talking about, you know, bedroom branding, there was a listener who said that she got divorced because she used the F word, you know, in their sexual relations while they were in bed. And so the question is that something defiled, you know, when we express ourselves in that way, in the confines of our bed, how do you address that? You know, is that a wrong thing? Is that taboo? Should we do that? Should we just say, okay, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah? You know, what do we do?
Before you answer the question, let me just welcome Anike in the room. Anike Maria.
Okay.
Happy to have her. And she'll be joining us real soon. Yes, go ahead, Dr. Faith.
I'm laughing because I actually did that when I was making love with my husband.
Uh-oh. All right now.
Okay. Okay.
You know, but that wasn't the privacy of our home, our bedroom. So I mean, if you because as I was reading some of my books here, men like to hear noises.
So in other words, so he responded, okay. It wasn't like, no, what are you saying that for? I'm a preacher of the gospel of Christ. You can't be saying that word in the bedroom, sister. I mean, how was the response in that? Just curious.
I was enjoying it.
God is good. God's good anyhow.
But this husband didn't at all. This husband, you know, put her away. This husband put her away because
he
used that language.
Uh-oh. You know, we had a very interesting point. I mean, there is a very, in my experience, we grew up being very aware of, I would say, the negative points of homosexuality, or what we deem to be negative, or whatever it is. And we know what that is. So you're talking about in marriage and having anal sex. What is that about? Because isn't that a similar kind of assimilation of what that is? Because, you know, I mean, some say it's, you know, it was made for exit, not an entrance. But many, many couples married and unsaved or saved couples have, you know, explored that option. So is that okay in the biblical sense or as a Christian for us to do that?
That's fine. If two parties, if you both agree with that, then it's up to you. It's really up to you. Because what a lot of times people don't understand in relationships, when that's why it's so good to have premarital counseling. Because and somebody that really knows what they're doing, because not like some of these preachers, they're not going to touch certain topics. Okay, so it's good to have experience in understanding what you are to talk about when you're doing premarital counseling. Because in premarital counseling, every factor that has to deal with marriage needs to be addressed. So with the topic of sex, because it's such a taboo subject and so many females of different mentality where that's concerned as well as male, okay, that subject should be addressed in detail because both parties need to go into the relationship, into the marriage, knowing what is expected of them.
Dr. Faith, I'm going to come back to that, but I want to hear something from LaToya Pennock. I want to hear something from her as a wonderful guest. This is kind of how she would actually approach that part of it. You know, the anal thing or where you may have maybe porn introduced. I know a couple, honestly, and I was a well-respected minister. And a good friend of mine was working at the house. And when they went to the house, they saw videotapes of porn and anal and activities. And they were shocked. I was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, that person? So, you know, that's back in the days, of course. But, you know, how would you address those things, LaToya Pennock?
Hi, good night.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Good night. Good night.
Good to be here. For me, from my belief, I don't believe in pornography and stuff. To each couple, their own. And for being married for 17 years, what I do in my bedroom is between me and my husband. And I believe,
right.
I totally agree with Apostle about one, premarital counseling, two, expectations. I was about to say, expectations are key. What I am expecting from the relationship, and are you able to meet my expectations? So, sex is important to the man and sex is important to the woman. But from the culture which a lot of us come from, sex is looked at as a bad thing. God created sex, so it must be good. He said, all things that I create are good.
Yes.
And sex is good. It has its place.
Right.
And one of the things that a lot of people struggle with, why they have issue in their sexual relation, is that they have issue with their sexuality.
Yeah.
Whether it be something that took place in their past, whether they were traumatized by something that triggered them sexually. So when they get into a relationship and having sex, they might feel some sort of way. They think you're doing something dirty. And so I believe from the illustration that Miss Misty gave, maybe that man think, you know, that word is a dirty word because how dare she say this? And she's enjoying herself. I'm thinking this woman is enjoying herself, having a good time with her husband, her man. Yeah. And he is putting her away because she said something. Now, I think he should, you know, after everything, because the hype of the whole activity, after, you know, talk to your honey, find out what, you know, why, what caused you. She might be so excited.
Yes.
He make her so happy that one moment that she just went off.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she meant it, maybe she did not. I don't know what was her frame of mind, but I'm saying, talk about it, communicate. That's one of the next thing. And sex doesn't mean better or better we have sex. It starts from we talking.
Yeah.
And like I said, we in our culture, it needs re-socializing needs to take place, retraining. Sex is good. You know, back in the days, in my days, growing up in Jamaica, how dare you talk about sex? Only grown people talk about sex. Mm-hmm. And we even have an issue with our sexuality. Our parents don't even call our body parts the right names.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we going to get older?
That's a serious thing.
You know, I remember when I was 6 years old, I was playing with my ding-a-ling. Don't laugh, guys. Don't make me laugh. And I thought I was doing the normal thing.
Oh, my God.
I was doing anything wrong. All right? I mean, I could touch my nose, right? I could touch my head. I could touch my toes. What's wrong with that part? And mom came and said, son, that's nasty. I'm thinking, mom, in my mind.
Oh,
that,
my
that,
God.
Really? Okay, that is nasty.
You're exploring
okay.
yourself.
Okay. All right. So
oh, my God.
The thing is that, so I grew up learning that let's go do badness. Let's go do nastiness. You know, it wasn't, they didn't even say sex.
And
let's
you had to badness. Go hide. Like, you had to hide, go hide in a bad. Secret place.
So to unlearn these things, boy, no wonder yes. why a lot of us will be getting into strange things and strange ways and not knowing the beauty of what it is. And
yes, that's true.
I'm going to continue because you were saying something earlier. Let's you revert back to what you were saying, Dr. Faith.
Run it by me again, because...
You were saying something very interesting about I promise you're gonna remember.
Yeah, having a conversation. Having
yes, the conversation. There you go. Conversation. That was
about
it.
About these topics, because why is it so vital? Because as somebody said, I don't remember who said it, that they need to be reintroduced. A lot of things need to be reintroduced. I think
yes.
Lady Pinnock said it. Yeah, it need to be reintroduced. A conversation about sex, even with
yes.
Need true, to have true. Some kind of couples seminar because
I so agree with that.
Yeah, why there's so many breakups in marriages, because this is a big issue.
It
because
is
a lot of these women, when they don't even understand what it's all about, they just I'm getting married. Oh, they cause you know, we're told that you get 18, 19, 20. Oh, you're supposed to get married.
True.
I have no idea. First of all. You have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. At 25. 20, yeah.
You
yeah.
You don't know how who you are. How are you going to connect to somebody? I mean, you probably don't know who he is either.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you got two incomplete people coming together.
And in such a powerful way.
Yes. And then I used to think back in the way they highlighted sex that it was 99% of the marriage. And when I got married, I realized, no, 99% of the marriage is communication. Mm-hmm. That's a very crucial part to the marriage. Okay.
Yeah.
People may say it's probably 50%. No, it's very crucial.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be able to communicate all across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My husband never really communicated with me unless we were making love.
Mm.
The other times we're arguing.
Baby, baby, baby. Baby, I love you, baby. Okay, I got you.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's so important that we need to know who we are as individuals.
Yes.
And who we are as women.
Definitely.
And be connected into ourselves. Because a lot of us, they use the word vagina and call it the powder box. What is that?
The powder box?
Well, I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Then
never
the
heard of it.
Penis is what they call it, teapot.
Oh yeah, I've heard that one. I've heard that teapot one.
The box. So nobody don't want to use the actual word.
Wow. Yes.
What's wrong with it? And I'm like, God, you know, I grew up, I'm like, wow. Then I started reading the scripture. I said, but God, you made us so beautiful. And then when I was reading through the scriptures and I realized the whole Bible is a love book. The whole Bible is intimacy with God.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm like, this is so strange. And it's highlighted a lot in Songs of Solomon. Because Songs
yes.
of Solomon goes deep into the lovemaking.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's God, true.
Wow, God. So somehow we got it twisted somewhere mm-hmm. that what you made was not a good thing.
Yes.
You know, and therefore you got so much mad. People just get together. It's not that they know each other or they love each other. It just mm-hmm. get together because I remember it, we were told, you know, we have the scripture, the Bible says when Adam and Eve sinned and, you know, they went and gone and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Mm-hmm. So basically, you're just getting married just to have babies.
To have babies, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's what happened in the old, you know, back in the day. That's why they didn't have that conversations, because I always ask myself this question. Many of our grandmothers, great grandmothers, they're having like 10, 15 children. I'm like, then nobody talked about sex.
They're just doing it.
And you just do it because, you know, there's nothing to do and, you know, you just have these babies. I'm like, so there was no conversation because about this?
To be fruitful and multiply and replenish to earth.
That okay.
is what they live off. So it's the one yeah. man, thank you, ma'am, just have it too. Because I have found, even my ex-mother-in-law before she passed, her husband, even though he was in his 80s, he was very fertile. He wanted to have sex.
Right.
She said, he tried to touch her. Mm-hmm. Get off of me. Get off of me. Get off of me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
Wow.
What? So I said, why are you doing that to the man? The man want to make out with you. I don't do those things. I don't do those things. That's the man. Mm. He can't touch me. Can't touch me. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
So would you say a big part of it also, you know, the ignorant, but also trauma? Because a lot of people, you know, a lot of women, I know this is even back then, a lot of women, they were emotionally not taken care of. They were, I would say, emotionally abused. And they have all these kids, after kids. And a lot of times the men weren't even there to nurture them and, you know, say the right words to them. So they see it as a task. So here you are now trying to, you know, so sometimes you have a lot of pain going on there too. But it is a interesting dynamic to have someone who wants it so bad and one is like, they never had it before. It's like, don't touch this. Are you kidding me? So it's interesting. Yeah.
Because, you know, that because they're a certain age now, they have the kids now, so we ain't got to do that no more. So that was only for
kids.
That purpose.
Wow. Only for, right, only for be fruitful and multiply.
And all that. They don't do those things.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's nasty.
Wow. Yes. You know, Apostle, we are almost out of time, but there's a question that I want to ask, and it is from a listener, and it says, when a man is single and have a leadership position in church, right, how does he cater to his, you know, sexual needs and his erections? Can a sex-starved man truly lead? And, you know, as we talk about, you know, the bedroom activity and what's defiled from undefiled, how is masturbation viewed in this light? Is it allowed? Is it wrong? You know, how do we, and for somebody who has grown up in church all his life or her life and takes on a wife who probably doesn't have that same experience. So you have a woman who loves sex and, you know, has been through life. You know, how do you answer that?
Take like a minute, just a minute, because we
have we're out of time. But
yeah, let's take a quick minute and address that.
Whoa, that's a heavy topic.
Yeah.
Well, it's challenging because the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. Mm. Okay, so pastoring the church without a spouse, you're really taking a big chance. It's a big challenge, okay? Because men are visual. That's how they're designed, okay? And you really got to be careful with that type of situation. So you have to really ask God to help you, to keep you near the cross until he opened the door for you to have a wife. And it's not going to be easy. Because you're going to have women throwing themselves at you.
Yeah.
True.
Okay. And I know because I've met ministers like that. And it's you got to be so careful because then you open the doors to other things as well.
True.
People start thinking you're homosexual now. What, you can't find a wife?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You got to be real careful. I have a thing with men pastoring churches without wives. Because what people don't understand too is when you preach, and the anointing is on you, when it's lifted, you're like an ordinary person.
Yeah.
So if a woman is right there, oh my God, you're going to really go at it.
And I've heard that a lot of them, and I've heard a lot of them too, they actually want it more. They're actually more inclined to.
Yes, your sex drive is at that time.
Yes.
You got to be so careful. That's why, you know, women, we're a little different. We know how to control ourselves. But men are, like I said, men are visual.
Yes.
The way a woman carries herself, because you know a lot of these women, they come in the front row, but you know the man is single. Everybody sit in the front row, cutting their leg, cutting their tan in the front row, and dressing all kind of wave, and man to preach, he can't even connect to the word, because these women are really trying to, you know, put themselves
distract
out.
Distract,
yeah. So it's kind of hard. It's very hard. You really got to be in much prayer, I tell you.
Yes.
Much prayer, and ask the Lord to keep you secure until he finds you a mate.
Awesome. Amen. Awesome. That's a good way to end this segment. Yes. Wonderful.
Thank you, Dr. Faith. That was really, really insightful and fun. I think I enjoyed this segment. Yes. So, Dr. Faith, I heard at some point I heard about a sex therapist. So, how can folks find you? I mean, tell us a little bit about where you are and where can we get to, the viewers get to check you out and reach out to you.
Okay, you can find me at my website, wa-moe.org. And also you can call the church at 914-699-2482.
Say it one more time, the number again?
That number is 914-699-2482.
Thank you.
Write me at P.O. Box 2077, Mount Vernon, New York, 10551.
All right. Thank you so much, Apostle Dr. Faith Walters, for coming through tonight and really sharing with us. We are so grateful for your words of encouragement and your truth. Thank you for being so authentic.
Yes, authentic. Yes, that's the word. Yes.
We appreciate like you being so authentic and so, you know, vocal. And, yes, and transparent. We appreciate you. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Dr. Faith. All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to You Me Radio. You're on Let's Talk Relationships. Yes. And here we say all kinds of things, all kinds of stuff. We just say it just like it is.
That's right.
We're not afraid to have the conversations. We're not afraid to get in your face. And we also want you to know that we love our audience. We love you. And we just want to be able to grow together as a people.
Amen to that.
Uh-huh. And coming right up in our next segment. Go ahead, Lady Misty.
Yes, so we are going to be moving into our life moment segment. I'm so sorry, but we're going to go into a short break. So when we come back, we go straight into our life moment segment, where we will be talking to Ainike Mori. We'll be right back.
Transforming lives through mindfulness education, success coaching, and spiritual awareness conversations. Go to mycoachministry.com for more information on Mindfulness in Ministry Masterclass, success coaching, and more. Access BusinessTree.com, an empowerment tool to help business pros build around their ministry.
Love that song.
Yeah, I love that song too.
That song.
Yeah, that's my anthem, man. I'm a black woman, black, and I'm proud.
There you go.
So, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to You Me Radio.
Yes.
Please don't forget to get the app, You Me Radio. That's one word. And we can be found on Google Play Store or Apple Play Store, whichever one you have. Please check them out.
And that's the letter.
Go find us.
That's the letter U-M-E-R-A-D-I-O. U-M-E Radio.
One word. Also, yes. Please go to our website, yumiradio.com, and check out our products. And I've got some exciting news. If you're going there to shop, we have a code for you. So the code is LTRSAVE. That's the promo code. So whatever you're doing, when you're checking out, just type in the promo code LTRSAVE and you'll be in for a treat. Great discounts for you. So don't forget, LTRSAVE. That's our promo code.
Yes, and folks, we're here tonight with a very special guest. Her name is Anike Murray, and I happen to be very blessed to have known her for a while. She's a mom, she's a CEO, and she's an educator. I happen to be one of those recipients of her writings just about every morning. I think she has a vast group. And I'm telling you, I always wonder, how does she not get writer's block? Because she always has something fresh and just write like a nice, fresh cup of water.
That's what educators do, DJ.
Yes.
The audience.
Yes.
I'm an educator too. It just flows.
So, Anike, I welcome you. We shall welcome you and the audience.
Thank you.
Please, the floor is yours.
Thank you.
What are you doing tonight?
You. Oh, man. Tonight, I am elated. There's been so many things going on. Good thing. And I'm just like really, really full right now to overflowing, you know? So I'm feeling great. And that song that you played, perfect intro to how I'm feeling tonight.
You are a Black woman. And a powerful one too.
Perfect intro.
You know, Anike, if you could maybe turn your screen a little bit so we can see all your face, that beautiful face of yours. Yes.
Okay.
Love it. All right. Yes.
Awesome.
So
right.
We here. I know that you involved in several things, and you know, it's a segment of a show where we have individuals express, I would say, defining moments in their lives.
Right.
You know, it could be a birth, it could be a death, it could be, you know, illness that they've overcome. It could be so many different things that defined their life in a way where they are not only inspired, they are inspiring others and find themselves, you know, being that effect, you know, for other people.
Oh man, there's been so many, but I would honestly have to say the one that has really hit me more than any other is what happened to me during this COVID situation. Because through COVID, you know, thankfully I didn't get ill, none of those situations, but being in COVID, I was forced to be still, And, you know, when you're still, that's when you hear God the most. And that's what happened with me. I was forced to be still. I was forced to like shut out the noise and just listen. And in doing that, a book came to life. In doing that, ideas and designs came to life, you know, and I honestly don't think that could have happened if, you know, the hustle and the bustle and the doing this and the doing that and catering to everybody and just trying to make sure everybody is okay, forgetting to take that time for me.
Yes.
You know, this was definitely my defining moment. And then it also taught me that I am more than just this person who goes to work every day and then come home. And, you know, I'm a mom and, you know, I'm all these different things. I'm more than that. And the situation helped me to truly see my worth. And not only see it, but also accept it.
Awesome.
Amen. You preaching.
Let me ask you, Anike.
Yes.
That word peace.
Yes.
What is that coming out of? That's a very, very delicate, but yet strong.
Yeah.
Strong word.
All right. So my dad always said, no storm lasts forever. None. Mm-hmm. After every storm, a rainbow always comes. So in the midst of all the chaos and craziness and all these different things, at some point you find peace. So, you know, when I got into the whole social media, you know, I remembered what he said. And I said, you know what? I think the perfect name that I could give myself is Peace Reigns, because peace reigns within. It reigns within me. It reigns within the storm. It reigns within any and everything that anyone can go through. And that peace is God. And because we are from God, we should reflect him. So no matter what's going on, you know, we should still live life from that place of peace.
Amen.
Right.
So I want to ask you about your work, because I hear you and I hear the passion that you have, mm-hmm. and you have so many things to give. Right. And I know you're a giver.
How do you know that?
Because I've read about you. But
we did our research. The grapevine told us. The grapevine told us.
Just by listening to you, I know you have a passion for giving back.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the projects that you have been, you know, embarking on. And I want to know as well, you know, as a Black woman, mm-hmm. you know, in the Black community, what has that been like, you know, as you work?
Oh, wow. Okay. So one of the things that I am, and it's not just me, it's not just a me project, but my family is also involved. You know, we have a not-for-profit called Precious Gems. And basically what Precious Gems is, and it's, when it started, it was mainly supposed to be for children. And then it became something else. You know, overnight, it just, you know, so, you know, I started, I was like, all right, so, you know, I'm going to help the children in Jamaica, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then God said, wait, because now you're getting too carried away. You know, you're not listening, because Precious Gems is more than just this, what you're thinking, you know, and it's not just about the babies, but it's also about the elderly. It's also about those people in between, because all of us are precious gems in God's sight.
Yes.
So, you know, so I had to like fall back a little bit and allow him to kind of write that blueprint, not kind of, but to write that blueprint for me to say, all right, so this is what you're going to do. And it was hard in the beginning to even do it, because I'm like, man, I don't want half a bake, nobody no money. What did people them gonna say? People like, I'm taking the money from myself. You know what I mean? So all these things, and I'm like, Lord, how am I going to do this and have everyone? And then I had to remember that it wasn't my project.
It wasn't my project.
So I have to allow him to truly teach me, train me, so that I could actually be the vessel that he needed me to be in order to be successful with what I was doing. So, so what we did now, you know, we, you know, got the barrels together, put out the flyers, and, you know, spoke to everybody that I knew. And then I was like, all right, tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody, this is what we're doing. But also what I did was I made sure to, everything that I did, you know, was marked so people could actually follow the journey along the way. So from the beginning, so, you know, started getting in school supplies. And, you know, I said I wanted to focus on, you know, like the rural areas in Jamaica, because those communities, those schools usually don't get the help from the government as schools in the city, you know? So true, I was like, all right, so this is where we're going to go, because they're the ones who mostly need the help. And, you know, I started getting, you know, got all the stuff, and we got everything that we needed. And then we got stuff for like old age home. We got stuff.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. We got stuff for a children's home and all these things. And I was like, yes, excited. And I was so happy, because I'm like, oh my God, it's coming together, and all these different things. And then, you know, went home to Jamaica, and my family was with me every step of the way. And then just to just to see like the joy on the faces of these people and being able to sit with the older people and you know, to like hear their stories and to talk to the nurses that were there. And I was like, you know what? This is what it's about. You know, we were put here on this earth, not for ourselves, but we were actually put here for each other, you know? And it's like, if we live our lives and not try to touch at least one, then why are we here? You know, that's my thought. So this is year three for us, Precious Gems. Yes. In
wow.
Yes, this is year three and could not have done it without God at all.
Amen.
Yes, at all.
Amen. Well, congratulations on your third year.
Thank you.
And I wish you all the best as you pack on those years.
Thank you.
I hear you talking about your not profit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's morphing into something beautiful. Into yes. Yeah. So, you know, as I asked this question before, mm-hmm. as a Black woman,
mm-hmm.
you know, how important is it for you to, you know, market yourself as a strong, independent Black woman? I know it can get hard sometimes because, mm-hmm. you know, we have so many obstacles
mm-hmm.
to face as women, you know, right. as being Black. But, you know, during that journey, what have you really learned about, you know, tell us some of the things that you have learned about yourself as you've been on this journey.
Some of the things I've learned about myself, well, one thing I would say is that I'm really unstoppable. I don't do well with no at all. You know, it's like
most women don't.
Yeah, I don't right. It's like, what do you mean no? So it's like I've learned that I'm truly unstoppable in the sense that, you know, there is nothing that I can't do. You know, there was a time when I used to live inside my head, you know,
okay.
and a lot of us are like that as women, you know, we think and we rethink and we think again and we think again. And then by the time we're done, we forget about what we're like, you know what, forget it. It's just too much, you know,
yeah.
but throughout like my journey, you know, I've learned that I can and I must because I have a daughter. You know, and she's looking at me, you know, she's watching me. So it's not just about, yes. you know, what I say, but it's also about what I do. And mm-hmm. you know, as a woman, you know, living in today's society, you know, there's so many things that we're up against. You know, society tells us you got to look like this. Society tells us you got to act like this. Society tells us you got to speak like this. You know,
yes.
you have the man over here saying, girl, you got to look like this. Or, you know, and you got the females over here talking about who she thinks she is. She thinks she, all of that. So it's like, it's so much noise. It's so much noise. And I have learned to block out the noise because it distracts. It's a distraction. It's there mainly to stop you in your tracks. That's what it's designed to do, you know? So I've learned to not listen to the noise, but instead to hone in on me, hone in on who I am, you know, to center myself. So in centering more and not focusing so much on what social media says and what this says and that says, you know, in focusing more on me, honing in more on me, it's helped me to be a better version of me, you know? So I had to unlearn a lot of things in order to relearn to be the person I am today, you know? And in doing that, I haven't just taken the journey by myself, you know, like I'll tell my daughter. So the same things that, you know, that I'm learning, I make sure I'm passing it on, because I don't want her to ever feel as if, oh man, you know, I'm not pretty enough. And my daughter is beautiful. You know, she has the the natural hair. And there was a time when she was like, man, my hair, you know, like if she has it out, she would say, no, I don't want it out like that because, and I had to like tell her, no, it's okay. You know, you're beautiful just the way you are. You don't have to add anything to you. You know what I mean? Yeah. And now she's this little, every day she's in the mirror and she lets out her hair, she twists her hair, and she feels more confident in herself because I'm able to, from the lessons that I've learned, teach her.
Amen to that.
You know, so now, and you know, so now as she grows, because I'm doing it not just for me, but for them. You know what I mean? So yes. Now as she grows with a certain level of confidence.
So, all right.
Right.
So, you know, we're just about to close out, but I just want to say those were beautiful words and good values to leave. So tell me a tip that you would leave with any young person, any young woman, any young girl that's striving to, you know, she has that passion but doesn't know how to channel it. What tip would you give that young person?
What tip would I... You are nothing without God. Absolutely nothing. We could have a million dreams. There could be a million things that we want to do. And if it's not in God's perfect alignment, if it's not in God's blueprint, it won't work at all. So always keep God at the forefront of who you are, forefront of everything that you do.
Amen to that. DJ, we can't hear you.
Yes.
Check your mic. All right.
I am back.
There you
awesome.
Go.
Awesome. I'm just loving this talk right here. And as you were talking, I kind of looked back at some of your writings.
Yes.
And I kept seeing your voice. In fact, I remember one time I was on Facebook and I saw you, the small little talk. Mm-hmm. I was like, she needs a podcast like yesterday. You know, so I'm somewhat bothering her, but I like the fact that I think she brings a very, very warm touch to hearts. There's something very powerful about you, Anike, that I see, and I really thank God how He's using you and how He's taking you from, I would say, glory to glory.
You know, yes, I can see that. Thank you.
I can see that. So we thank you for what you're doing.
All praises due.
Yeah, we thank you for what you're doing for the kids and how you're reaching back.
Yes.
You know, and just tell us where we can get you. How can we find you and support you and, you know, support your charity, because to us it's important.
Yes. Well, you guys can find, email me at, you know, mm-hmm. Anike
Email,
Murray.
Okay.
Yes, mm-hmm. anikemurray@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. I also have a website where, you know, I have my writings and all these different things, and it's called peacereignswithin.com. Right. So all the things that I write, you know, I also posted on my website. Okay. And if you're on Facebook, then I'm Peace Reigns, and you'll see everything, all my information, you know, what I'm doing for the charity and all of that stuff on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay. Any links to donate, like any links for donation or?
Yes. If you're going to use Zelle, and I prefer Zelle because, you know, Zelle doesn't charge you any money to actually do the transactions. So you can Zelle at inekemurray@gmail.com. And for those people who have Cash App, then you do $ Peace Reigns and the number one.
Okay. All right. Awesome. And we are definitely going to be pushing that to support that cause.
Yes.
Thank you. And thank you again for gracing us with your amazing presence.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, guys. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for my song. That's going to be my song.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. And God bless you.
Have a good night.
You too.
Yeah.
Bye.
All righty.
That's about wraps it up, huh?
Yes, DJ.
Yeah.
So? My tip for this for tonight, sex is the only free vacation.
Yes, and my tip is that I'm a guy, and tip, we understand what that means. God bless you. Have a good night. I'll leave it right there.
You're leaving it right there. Okay.
Our crew includes executive producer Keith Marrett, producers Marsha J, hosts DJ KTE and Lady Misty, associate producer Rochelle Smith Haslam, and Delrose Delgado. Our sponsors are YouMe Digital Inc. We create and distribute content across our media portfolio, offering integrated marketing, media and business services to customers and advertisers, including digital solutions, performance and advertising opportunities. Our brands are committed to inspiring and empowering families. Go to YouMeDigitalInc.com for more information on products and services. MyCoachMinistry.com, transforming lives through mindfulness education, success coaching, and spiritual awareness conversations. Go to MyCoachMinistry.com for more information on Mindfulness in Ministry Masterclass, success coaching, and more. AccessBusinessTree.com, an empowerment tool to help business pros build around their ministry. And Shop and Own. Shop and Travel Business is a one-stop shop for brand builders and influencers seeking to own the brand they're building while securing the right partnerships and collaborators to monetize their work. Sign up today and get exclusive deals, discounts, and offers from our partners. Sign up at YouMeRadio.com. Follow us at Let's Talk Relationships Show and via WhatsApp group LTR Exclusive Offers. Contact us at 201-503-6731. All the information we just shared, as well as contact details for our guests, can be found in the description bar. Don't forget to subscribe, click the notification bell for notifications, and comment. We want to hear from you. Tell us what topics you want us to talk about on our next episode.
Let's talk
relationships on YouMe Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on YouMe Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on YouMe Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships, arguments for the grown.
Get the YouMe Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is YouMe Radio, one word.